Thank you for subscribing to Bump in the Road. In this member-only session, I continue my discussion with Eric Weinmayer. We talk about his charity, No Barriers, and what it takes to live a No Barriers life. We talk about some of Eric's heroes, his trip through the 277 miles of Grand Canyon Rapids, and how that expedition changed his perception of risk and accomplishment, which brings up the concept of flow, that mystical place where hard work, focus, and planning create a spiritual experience of timelessness and connection. This is an inspiring, magical conversation. Please join us. You did many things after Everest, but one of them was forming No Barriers. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, back in the late 90s, I got a call from this guy, Mark Wellman, who I had heard all about. I'd read his book. He's a paraplegic. He was in a wheelchair, and he fell in a climbing accident coming out down from a peak in the Sierra Nevadas. And he had this amazing survival story, but he was a park ranger in Yosemite, and he had been a climber before that. And he conspired this idea with a friend of his to climb El Capitan. I mean, that's like insanity. This guy that wound up, Mark Wellman, doing 7,000 pull-ups up El Capitan in 8 days. And that was such an insane thing that he did, that he went around. He was like a dignitary, you know. He met presidents, and he lit the torch in the Paralympics. And so Mark called me up and said, I'm putting together a project. We're going to do this film project. We're going to climb this beautiful desert tower outside of Moab, Utah, and I want you to be a part of the team. And the third guy is going to be Hugh Herr, who's another legend in the climbing world. He lost both legs in a climbing accident, and he was ice climbing on Mount Washington and got lost and got frostbite and lost both legs, and started tinkering in his garage and built these prosthetic legs and feet that nobody had ever seen anything like it. And he could use his little rubber wedges of feet to wedge into like little seams and cracks, and became an extraordinary climber after losing his legs. And so the three of us climbed this tower outside of Moab. It's called Ancient Art, and it's this crazy little corkscrew of a summit, this kind of sandstone tower, you know, created by wind and the elements. And we got to the top of that climb, the three of us, and Mark said, "Not bad for three gimps." And I had never heard that word before. I didn't even know what a gimp was, but Mark kind of uses it as a badge of pride. Anyway, so it was that climb, I think, for me, that was the conception of No Barriers, because I looked at these two guys and I go, okay, what's the universal takeaway here? Are there things that like these people have done that we could pull away that are kind of part of the universal experience of trying to go through your life and be the best version of yourself? And yes, there were these sort of natural takeaways. One was the pioneering kind of innovation that they brought to the table to create these systems to be able to do the things that they do. So there was like this great lesson around pioneering and engineering. There was a great lesson around like how they took crap and turned it into gold. You know, they took bad things and turned them and just totally spun them on their head and made them into these powerful things, sort of like the rock towers that were all around us, you know, that had been sculpted by the elements, but yet had been shaped into these super beautiful, profound structures. And so I guess the lesson was you choose how the elements shape you. And there was a kind of light or this energy or this power inside them that seemed to be a fuel source. And I was fascinated by all that stuff. And I wondered whether I could take some of those ideas and build a movement where people leaned into each other and studied sort of what this quote unquote no barriers life looked like and how to diagnose it or dive into it, how to celebrate it. And what are all the shapes and forms that it takes in life? And so that began No Barriers. And now we're quite a strong organization. Before the pandemic, we were working with about almost 20,000 people a year,
Wow. And even in person?
Mm-hmm. And even switching over to the virtual world, which everyone had to do in COVID, we ran one of our virtual events called our No Barrier Summit, and we had 1.3 million views from around the world. So I think we're even having an impact in the COVID age. But I do think No Barriers, like on a bigger scale, like on an overview, is a real good antidote for all the challenge that we're facing and all the division that we're facing as a country and in the world right now, because it's all about leaning in and saying, okay, let's tap into that light that exists within us, or the human spirit, or whatever you want to call it. And let's find purpose in our lives, and let's use it to elevate the world. And that doesn't matter what kind of background or ability or challenge you come from.
You know, I read your book, The Adversity Advantage, and you talk about three categories of people: quitters, campers, and climbers.
Yeah.
And you say quitters are maybe 5 to 20%, campers 65 to 90, and climbers are a rare few. And in a lot of your corporate work, I think somebody threw out the figure of about 80% of people are campers. How do you move somebody from, well, first talk about the categories, but how do you move somebody from being a camper to a climber?
Well, that concept, I think, is very much sort of intertwined with this no barriers life and mindset that we were just talking about a second ago, because it's not like, you know, this perfect category, like you're always a camper. You know, like I'm a camper quite a bit. Sometimes from training, I'm so tired, I just go lay on the couch and eat ice cream, and that's fine, right? I have a massage chair in my living room. So we're all kind of drifting between quitters and campers and climbers all the time. But quitters, I guess, are sort of, they have kind of a self-destruct mechanism, sadly, within them. And that's really tough to work with. But campers, we found, really were the most interesting group from the study that Paul and I did. Campers were the people who start out climbing, as I think we all do, and then these barriers get in the way, and you know, like their cynicism or there's trauma when they try something out of the box, and they get this sort of trauma running through their soul, you know, when, you know, it prevents them from trying something big again. Or you know, you just kind of wake up one day and you realize that you're not equipped to take things on anymore, or the barriers that you're confronting just keep beating you down and beating you back until your momentum is killed. And then you get shoved to the sidelines, and now you're camping out, you know, you're stagnating, and all your energy, and it's lost to the world. And so it's such a tragic thing. But so we found that so many of human beings felt like campers. They felt like they just were not fulfilling their purpose on earth. And climbers, were kind of a rare group of people who figured out a way to kind of break through and keep challenging themselves and exploring and evolving till the day they die. No barriers is all about taking folks who have been shoved to the sidelines and are now camping and starting to stagnate, but yet they know in their heart that they're not reaching what their potential is. And so they find us, they seek us out, and they say, hey, maybe this is going to be a good catalyst for me. So we get a lot of injured veterans and a lot of people with physical challenges and a lot of people who suffer from fear and anxiety, kids in the foster care program, first generation Americans, people who struggle with all kinds of things, and they say, hey, I want to be a climber, but I just don't quite know how to get there. So what I tell people is no barriers is simply the catalyst. The change comes from them. The motivation comes from them. We're just kind of an energy or a catalyst to give you some new techniques and ideas and a kind of shape a new mindset and a map to go forward and navigate your life and kind of step into that world of climbing.
Do you hear from people after they've been through the program about what they're doing afterwards?
yeah, that's the coolest part. We have people take a no barriers pledge a lot of times, and that's something they take on that they wouldn't have taken on if they hadn't gone through the program. And so we see people who have written books about their experience, and people who have run marathons, and people who have started companies, people who have gone back to school, to grad school, get their MBAs, people who start volunteering again, leading Boy Scout or Girl Scout troops again. It takes so many shapes and forms. We have one guy, kind of my hero, Matt Burgess, who he was an injured veteran. His story is like so, I mean, you'd almost think it's fiction. He came to us and he was so fragile. He couldn't even eat solid food hardly. He had this machine that would like put like condensed food and put it into these capsules because he'd throw up like when he ate. And he had had reactions to the anthrax medication, a vaccine. He had like uranium poisoning from cleaning up deployments, weapons on the battlefield. He had been sexually molested. He had traumatic brain injuries. He smoked cigarettes because of that. Like that was a coping mechanism. And man, he tried to sabotage himself and quit our No Barriers program dozens of times. It was touch and go, but there was something in Matt that just said, I gotta have faith in this process. And we went through the whole program. We went over to Ecuador and climbed the peak called Cotopaxi, and he staggered his way to the summit. And then his No Barriers pledge was to start an organization called Freedom Fidos, which he's now trained, I think, over 60 dogs for veterans, service dogs. And he has a facility in Georgia. And his health continues to decline. But he, you know, this kind of lights him up. This is the fuel to, you know, his life, training these dogs and building this Freedom Fido organization. And he wrote me a note, and he told me, he said, you know, like Eric, most of the time on that climb, I wanted to quit. And there are times when I'd break down and cry. But he said, standing on the summit, feeling sick and exhausted and hungry, of course, but also seeing for miles around, he said, I was enveloped in this sort of light, you know, like he said, now my greatest prayer is to live within that glow and to pass that light on to other people. And you might say that's a bit corny, but I really think that's the premise behind No Barriers is no, whatever you call that, whatever you call corny. That thing inside, you know, it's strengthening and growing, and you use it to blaze into the world and light your way forward. And that's, I think, what Matt has done.
A slight change of topic, but I am absolutely fascinated by your kayaking experience, which was not very easy for you, was it?
No, if I thought climbing was hard, kayaking was like 10 times harder because things are happening so fast. You know, you're going into this rapid, and you can't see any of it. And you know that crazy stuff is going to happen. You know, the current is pulling you all around because basically the current is just all the energy of just hammering through kind of a canyon usually and interacting with all these obstacles and drop-offs and boulders and sieves and all this stuff that's at the bottom of the river. And then all that energy boils up and creates these massive rapids and holes and things that you do not want to go into. And so a rapid may only last 2 minutes, but you got to be able to react so quickly to all the things that are happening to you. And I'm getting commands through a radio from a person behind me. So he or she is having to navigate themselves down this crazy rapid while operating a remote control blind guide through the rapid as well. And the blind guide, remote control blind guide, isn't always doing the things they want them to do because the river, the current's always pulling you in places. So I might try to take a left. You might say hard left, and I take a left, but the river's pulling me right. So it's super hard to stay oriented as a blind person within that chaos.
Well, given the rapids that you ran on the Colorado, some of which are they categorized as 9 the highest or 10?
Yeah, the Grand Canyon has its own category system or this own rating system, and it's a 1 to 10 scale. And that's different from the way they rate most rivers, but so Grand Canyon is sort of unique. So yeah, there's some rapids that are a 10 out of a 10, and one of them is Lava Falls, and that's like the big daddy of the Grand Canyon.
You know, I have a quote from your book I want to read. It really just stuck with me. You write that climbing was more about bringing yourself forth, asserting your will over an extreme, inhospitable environment, yet trying to apply that learning to rivers had failed. Perhaps the secrets of a river were not revealed by trying to exert ego over it, but rather by letting go. And in that letting go, you write, maybe this was as close as we could ever get to understanding, just a brief mortal flash of that light connecting with something bigger, something mysterious, and something infinite.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great lesson for me as this kind of control freak, I guess. I didn't realize I was a control freak till I started kayaking and realized there's very little you can control. And so going into these rapids where you're not fully in charge, God, it was so hard to wrap my head around that. You know, you're riding this energy source, and that energy source, when it hammers, is way more powerful than you. So you have to access that energy. You have to ride that energy and maybe use it and make a couple moves and get in position. But you cannot fight the river. You're going at the river's pace, you know, and the river dictates. And that was really hard because in climbing, you could stop, or skiing even, you know, you get nervous, like, and you just stop and you take a breath. You can't do that with kayaking. So it was game on when there was no break. And so that was really hard for me to wrap my head around. So I trained for so many years to kayak the Grand Canyon. I probably trained for 8 years. And yes, there were these brief moments between the fear when you've prepared enough that time slows down. I actually could sense the time between my breaths. And I would go into a rapid like this one called Upset, which is a huge rapid on the Grand Canyon. And you had a hammer left into this wall of water. And then you have this giant canyon wall just hammering with water. And then to your right is this gigantic hole that you do not want to go into. That's why they call it Upset. And you're riding this gauntlet between the two. And I just remember like almost a smile on my face, you know, as you're connecting with this river. You're no longer this entity that's separate from the river and the water. You're kind of right in the whole thing, and there's no separation between you and the canyon. And yeah, these moments are brief, right? Like seconds. But I think that's what they call the flow state, you know, and everyone's studying what this flow state is, you know, where you're finally, your brain lets go, and that separation between you and the experience dissolves. And man, I was glowing for the rest of the day. I sat on the side of the river when I got to camp in the sunshine by myself, just thinking, yeah, that's a spiritual experience, right? It's this flash of something beyond what we know, something that you can just, the edges of your fingertips are grasping. And it's something beautiful and eternal and powerful that you feel like you're just on the edge of. And that feeling continues with you. And I think you try to seek it out again and again. And maybe that's the addiction of doing these extreme things, not the idea of defying death, but that sort of brief connection with that mysterious, I don't know, eternity of life.
Thank you for joining us today. I hope you found something in today's podcast that inspires you along your own life path, because sometimes a bump in the road is actually a portal into a more conscious and meaningful life. Bump in the Road is a production of Cancer Road Trip. Subscribe to the podcast, follow us on social media at Cancer Road Trip, and you can learn more at www.cancerroadtrip.com. Until next time, be safe and be well.